What does the church need to do to be more relevant? What is the church based on? What is the church on this slice of fresh bread? Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, hi, everybody. Thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, where we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread, podcast number 52. And today we have kind of a special podcast because I'm Pastor Keith, he's Pastor Brandon, and we're not sitting next to each other. We're actually miles and miles apart. Pastor Brandon is in California. He is at the Shepherd's Conference 2024. And so he's enjoying some time away, some wonderful snacks and things like that and great teaching. So Pastor Brandon, how's everything going there in California?
It's going excellent. I have wonderful hosts. We're sitting here together. They're actually here listening in on the podcast, and so it's just been an enjoyable time here at Shepherd's Conference. Obviously, the truth being proclaimed. I think the theme of the conference is Truth Triumphs, which really fits with some of the things that I've been preaching and we've been going through at Grace Bible Church over the past few months. And so, yeah, it's just been an excellent time.
Yeah, Shepherd's Conference is always a great time to go and kind of get away from everything, because I think Grace Church does a wonderful job of they feed you well, they take good care of you, and like you said, it's good teaching. The only thing I think you said that's not great there so far is the weather, but that's okay.
The weather's been enjoyable. It's good to get some rain here in Southern California. They've been in drought so many years, and so and I know they enjoy the rain. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah, when we lived out there, I went to seminary out there 2013 to 2018. There was a drought, so there was never a cloud in the sky. So it was.
Yeah, the LA River was raging yesterday.
Oh, really? Wow!
How many times have you seen that?
I've never seen the LA River. That's how rare it is. So,
isn't the LA River the wash?
Yeah, I think that's all it is, right?
They're right by. Yeah, you've seen it. You walked over it every day, Keith.
I probably did.
Yeah, you did, because it was the wash there by the seminary.
Well, I'm glad you're having a good time. I'm praying for you that you continue to have a good time. And what we're doing today is we're going to talk about what is the church. You did a very good three-part series teaching on the church. What is the church? And so we decided that we would get together and kind of just do a summary of it and try to help us understand and apply where your heart was at and why you decided to do that, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think just some clarification as to what was the background behind it and, you know, why I did what I did, but then also hopefully close the deal a little bit here to get people to understand, you know, what the big deal was, what was my major point.
Yeah, so as we jump in here, what was on your heart that made you want to preach this series on what is the church?
Well, I think part of it is, or a large part of it is that I think people, including myself, can look at the world and think that, you know, the world's out of control, and, you know, you have this, you know, there's all these things going on, the culture is spiraling, and, you know, we're standing against the culture. Many of our people, many Christians, you know, they go to work every day and they deal with, you know, bosses, and they deal with, you know, DEI and situations, and, you know, the equality issue of, you know, having to be inclusive, and so we see all these things in the world. You watch the news and you see all the negative things that are going on, and sometimes we can wonder, you know, what's God doing in all of this, especially down to the local church. And, you know, we come to church and, you know, we sing songs and we pray and we spend time together, and obviously those are things that the Lord is saying that we need to do. But I think sometimes we can think, well, what does this all matter? And I think many times Christians get involved in politics and, you know, see really the answer being more political than it is, you know, in the church. And I think that's not what, you know, Jesus said, you know, in Matthew 16, you know, when he said, I will build my church. Ultimately, that's, you know, his plan is to conquer the world, if you will, if you'll let me say it that way, to set up his kingdom. but he's going to do it through the church. And I think we have to recognize that even, you know, obviously Grace Bible Church, we're a small church, you know, we're definitely insignificant in the scheme of things in terms of, or it's seemingly insignificant. And yet God is working through, and ultimately the connection that I'm trying to make, it was trying to make in the sermon series, is that Christ is working through the church. Christ has promised to build the church. The gates of Hades will not overcome the church. But ultimately, what I was trying to build to was that at Grace Bible Church, we have, you know, it's a small church. So how do we fit in that overall scheme of things? Who are we in all of that? And ultimately, you know, I think that all the promises that Christ made to the church, all of those promises are, he's fulfilling them through the local church, whether it be Grace Bible Church, whether it be Grace Community Church, whether it be, you know, Grace Jackson in Jacksonville. I mean, any church that Christ is building, the local church, has been given all of those, you know, promises that, you know, Christ has given to the church. And why that's important to us is that ultimately the struggle is that understanding the big C church, if you will, the church that you know, the universal church, and understanding that God is working in space and time through the local church. And so, and that's ultimately and a lot of questions that I get, you know, in terms of you know, what is the church? Is it the local church? Is it the church universal? You know, is it you know, what is it? And so I think the answer ultimately is yes, it's both. I mean, it's, you know, Christ is building his church through space and time in terms of, you know, from the beginning, you know, the church from the beginning, from the time he made this promise up until today, and every local church in the middle that's a faithful church is his church, and he's using those churches. And so I think we can, especially in an internet age, especially in an age where we're in today, where I can hear, you know, John MacArthur, I can hear R.C. Sproul, I can hear John Piper, I can hear all these guys that are on the internet. I can listen to those guys and ultimately not ever step foot in a local church. But that's not what Christ promises to work through the local church, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I loved about this series, is that you—that's what you were basing it on. And but to get to your three points, and this is what you said the church is based on. When I was taking notes, I wrote the who, the what, and the how. The first one is the identity of Jesus. Mm-hmm. How important is it that the church is based on the identity of Jesus?
Well, I think that we need to recognize that who Christ is. I mean, Christ is the Son of God. I mean, and that's what, you know, Matthew 16, you know, Christ will build his church, but he, you know, he's speaking to Peter, and Peter had just identified him as the Son of God. But I think it even goes further than that. You know, when you recognize that Matthew says that ultimately he brings in this term, the Son of Man, and you know, now there's a question of whether Jesus actually said that, because in the other accounts he says he doesn't use the phrase or the title Son of Man, but I think he actually did say that. And I think Matthew brought that out mainly because that his point is that Jesus is the King, and ultimately he's the King who is the Son of Man from Daniel chapter 7. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 7, you recognize that he is the Son of Man who came up to the Ancient of Days, who was given a kingdom, given a dominion. And so not only is Jesus the Son of God, he is also the Son of Man, fully God, fully man. And he's been given this kingdom, power, and dominion, and, you know, which Daniel saw in a vision. But that matches Revelation 5, where John sees the Son of Man coming up to the Ancient of Days. And so ultimately, it's, you know, Christ, the church, is identified by being those who are subject to Christ, who is the Son of God and the Son of Man.
So, to me, it just struck me, that is very important, because you used the word identity of Jesus. because we have Mormons and we have even Muslims believe in Jesus, but I don't think they believe in his true identity.
That's right, and that's so important. And I now that you bring that out, I wished I would have brought it out more in the sermon series, because with obviously the Mormons don't believe in the same Christ that we believe in. You know, we believe in the Christ who is the Son of Man, who is the Son of God. I mean, he's presented himself. He is full of power, glory, and he's been given the authority. I mean, and he says that in Matthew chapter 28, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And so that's the God that we serve. That's the Christ that we serve. And that's not the same Christ that the Mormons serve, because the Mormons would say that he's not deity. The Mormons would say that he was just a man. And, you know, obviously they would say that he's a little g God, is what they would say. But we're saying, no, he is the God. He is the one who has been given all authority on heaven and earth, in heaven and on earth. And so it's a different Jesus. And so we as the true church are identifying with the Jesus of the Bible.
Yes, and that's why when you walked it through, when we look at Matthew 16, it is amazing how it all he's walking them through that Son of Man part, which is the most important part. That's why he's emphasizing that, right?
That is the most important part, because, I mean, obviously being the Son of God, I mean, you know, but he's not a Son of God, he's the Son of God. I mean, and so that, again, we're seeing his identity there. That's who we, as the true church, that's who we are serving. But I think what we have to recognize in putting it all together, the local church, the, you know, insignificant 40 people that are sitting there on a Sunday morning, we are part of his church.
Yeah.
That he's been given all authority, and we are to go make disciples of the nations by his authority, and we are to teach them all that he commands by his authority, which is the, you know, all authority on heaven and earth. And so even in a small church like, you know, Grace Bible Church, we have that, we've been given that promise, and that promise is just as much ours as anyone, you know, in terms of the church.
Right. And that's what you're doing on Sundays, you're revealing the identity of who Jesus is through going through Matthew and giving the gospel. Preaching the gospel.
Yeah, every Sunday when we proclaim his word, we're proclaiming his identity.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the authority by which we're preaching. This is the authority by which we're teaching. And, you know, this is the power through which we're, you know, that we're a part of, that we, you know, when Paul says, when he talks about the power that raised him from the dead, and he talks about that in Ephesians 1. I mean, he goes on in Ephesians 2 and says that same power has raised us up and seated us in the heavenlies. And so, you know, that's what I want to get people to understand is that if the Bible is true, and obviously I believe it is, then I want them to understand the power by which we as a church are, you know, the power that we have as a church, you know, that we are the very body of Christ. He is working through that, you know, through those churches as we proclaim the gospel, as we preach the gospel to the nations. It is his authority that we're preaching his gospel under his authority. And also as we teach them, you know, to obey all that he has commanded, we're doing it under his authority. I mean, so as the Son of God and the Son of Man, and that's, we go back to, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, we go back to the Mormons, they don't have that same power because they don't, and they're not preaching in that authority because they're not preaching the right Christ. They're not preaching, they're preaching a Christ that's a knockoff, if you will. I mean, they're not preaching the one that has revealed himself in Scripture.
So you're saying that the church is based on these three things. If any of these three things are missing, then it's probably not part of
the church.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if they're not preaching the true Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, then it's not a church. And that's incredibly important for us to recognize that even, you know, these liberal churches that call themselves churches, you know, that have women preachers and, you know, that are preaching the trans movement and, you know, saying it's okay to be homosexual, they're not true churches because they're not preaching the right Christ. That's what we, you know, the Christ who John says is full of grace and truth, they're not preaching him. So they don't have his authority, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the first point you did was the who, the identity of Jesus. The second one was what, the reality of his work, of Jesus's work. So that's important too, right? To recognize what he did.
Yeah, I mean, he promised to build his church, and it's important for us to recognize that he's the one that's doing the work, and that is the reality. I mean, that's why it's interesting, because you know, the doctrines of grace, election, and you know, the fact that we don't choose him. I mean, ultimately, he chooses us, and you know, and so he's the one who's doing that work. He's the one who's done that work. He's the one, I mean, because it says in Ephesians 1, you know, he chose us before the foundation of the world. And so, you know, Ephesians 4, I mean, Paul says that he's the one who gave gifts to men. I mean, he's the one who gives gifts to the church. And he's the one who's giving, you know, apostles and teachers and pastors and teachers, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He's the one who's doing that. He's the one who brings people into the body, and he's the one who's protecting the body. He's the one who's building the body, ultimately, is what it says in Matthew 16:18. And so he's been given the authority to do that because he is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. And that, you know, that goes back to his identity.
And then the reality of his work, right? The who, I described it, the who and the what.
I mean, ultimately the reality is he's the one who's building the church. I mean, that is the reality of the situation. I mean, he's the one that's doing the work. We're not. I mean, he's using us. Obviously, we're doing the work of the service, but he's the one who's done the work already. I mean, he's already been given the authority. He's already chosen his people from before the foundation of the world. That is the reality of his work. That is the reality that because of who he is, this is what he's doing. You know, and so.
Yeah, and then your final point was the recognition of Jesus' power. I wrote that as the how. How he's doing it? Is that how he's doing it?
Well, I mean, ultimately, I mean, that is the, again, it all fits together. Because of who he is, this is the reality of, you know, because of his identity, you know, this is the reality of who he is. This is the reality of what he's doing, which is building his church. The gates of Hades cannot overcome it. I mean, ultimately, you know, it's his work, and it cannot be overcome. It cannot be stopped. And so I mean, we need to understand that that's who we are as the body of Christ. He's, you know, we're an unstoppable force because of who he is, and ultimately, he's been given, you know, the authority. He's been given the power to go out and make disciples. So, you know, we think about the world, we think about the world spiraling out of control. Ultimately, we're the ones who are an unstoppable force in that. I mean, now ultimately, yeah, we have to understand we'll be persecuted. We're going to be, you know, that it's not as if it's going to be, you know, a bed of roses for us. I'm not saying that. Ultimately, we're going to face persecution. We're going to face difficulty. We see that. We're going to face headwinds in this world. But what we have to recognize is that at the end of the day, we win. I mean, because of who he is, we win. And I go back and I say that's ultimately Grace Bible Church, you know, the church that we are part of, as insignificant as it seems, we're on the winning team. I mean, yeah. You know, we can't lose. I mean, we can't lose because of his identity, because of the reality of what he's doing, and because of the power that he has and the authority that he has. And so, you know, and we're part of that. I mean, we because we're in Christ, that's who we are. That's our identity, you know, in Christ.
And the church is built on the gospel, right? It's taking the gospel to the world.
I go back to, you know, obviously we all look at politics and we can all think, you know, well, we need to vote Republican because we need to save the nation and, you know, we need to save our culture. And I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not against those things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, be involved civically and we shouldn't be involved in what's going on in the world. We need to be salt and light in the world. But ultimately, we have to recognize that God is that Christ is going to set up his kingdom. And what he said in Matthew 28 was, go and make disciples of the nations and teach them all that I commanded. That's how he told us to do it. And so that's what we need to be doing. That's what we primarily as the church need to do. And what we need to recognize is that he said in that very passage that all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. we need to recognize that it's that authority and power that we're working through when we make disciples, and ultimately that is the way he's going to set up his kingdom when he returns.
As we're doing this podcast, we're trying to help people understand and wrap up your three-part series on what is the church. And so as we look at the church, you just said Christ is the one who's growing the church. So when you look at churches that are trying to become more relevant, they're trying to be more like the world to draw people in, the church doesn't really have to do that, right? It can just continue being truthful, and Christ is going to bring those who he desires, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the thing, that we don't have to have the best band in town in order to draw people in. We don't have to have all of these programs that, you know, to bring people in. We need to have everything that we do needs to be set up such that we're preaching the gospel and we're teaching all that he commanded. And that's, I mean, now everything else is just window dressing. I mean, it doesn't do anything. You know, we at Grace Bible Church have, you know, we exalt God, we exposit his scripture, we equip the saints, and we evangelize the lost. I mean, that's our philosophy of ministry, and anything that doesn't fit into those, you know, that those four pillars is what we call them. Anything that doesn't fit into those four pillars, Keith, we don't need to be doing, you know, or if we do them, we need to understand that they're window dressing, and just ultimately anything that we do that's outside of those things need to be supporting, you know, those pillars that we're you know, making sure that we're doing. So again, you know, we want to be there to exalt God. We need to worship him. We need to be worshipers and worshipers, which means that we sing praises to him. We pray to him. You know, we exalt, or we exposit, we preach his word, which gets into the next point, expositing the scriptures. We're proclaiming his word. You know, we're equipping the saints. We're teaching them. We want to present every man complete in Christ. That's Colossians 1:28. But ultimately, we're doing all that so that we can go out and make more disciples. I mean, that's what we should be doing. And everything that we do should be support for that mission. We're not trying to attract people. We're not trying to attract the world into the church. I mean, we're trying to make the world into disciples of Christ. And that's the power, you know, ultimately, that's the power and the authority of the church. And he didn't give us any other authority. He didn't give us any other mission.
And as you were wrapping up the third sermon that you gave in this series, your last three things that you were emphasizing were kind of what you just said. The disciples were going out, they were making disciples, they were baptizing, and then they were disciplining Christians. And it's interesting because I heard John MacArthur, he kind of kicked off the Shepherd's Conference yesterday and talked about, you know, the word obey is not used very much in churches anymore, but obeying Christ and the church's job is to get people to guide them in that direction. So I don't know if you want to just touch on any of those three things that you were summarizing in that third sermon.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, at the last part of the sermon is what does Jesus authorize the church to do? And ultimately, I mean, we saw in Matthew 28:18-20, that he says, I keep going back to it, but all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. But then he goes and he says, make disciples of the nation. Obviously, we're preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they're identifying with the church, they're identifying with Christ, who is the Son of God, who is the Son of Man. And then it says in verse 20, teaching them all to keep all that I commanded you. And so ultimately, as a church, then we are to make and teach disciples. But what are we to teach them? We're to teach them all that Christ has commanded. We are to baptize those who are identifying in Christ. That's ultimately bringing, you know, new converts into the church. But at the end of the day, I mean, it can kind of feel out of place when, you know, the last one, which is, you know, discipline, you know, sending Christians. I mean, again, we're teaching them to, you know, all obey all that he commanded. And so when they don't obey, he's given us the authority in Matthew 18, when Christians don't obey, to go through this process of discipline. And the idea of the process of discipline is not to kick them out of the church. The idea is to bring them back into, mm-hmm. you know, obedience. And so But you ask yourself, why is that? Well, it's because, you know, Christ wants the church to be pure. He wants the church, he wants purity in the church. And so when you have a sinning Christian, when you have a Christian who's maybe in adultery or maybe doing things that he ought not do or she ought not do, I mean, that's impurity in the church. And ultimately, we saw that in Acts chapter 5. We saw that with Ananias and Sapphira. We saw that, you know, the fact that Peter and the apostles, they confronted these people. And, you know, we saw that in 1 Corinthians with the sinning, with the man who had his father's wife. I mean, so, you know, the reason for that church discipline process, the reason for that is to have, you know, purity in the church so that we can be effective. I mean, ultimately, that's what he wants, is that, you know, a church that's in sin, a church that is sinning, is not going to be an effective church, if that makes sense, and doing the things that he's asking us to do or commanding us to do.
Yes, and I think that's why, like you were saying, false churches are pulled more towards the world. It's harder for them to be able to discipline people because everyone's struggling with the same things because they want to be more like the world, and so it's hard to discipline people if everyone's doing it, even the pastor.
Yeah, I guess you could put it this way, Keith. I mean, if we're going to be effective as a church, then we're going to proclaim Christ, the true Christ, the true Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is the Son of Man. We're going to proclaim him. If we're going to be a true church, we're going to recognize that he's the one building the church. He's the one who's given gifts to men. He's the one who's putting and placing the people that he has chosen to place into the church. He's the one that's doing that. We need to, as a church, we need to recognize that he's the one building the church. He's the one that's protecting the church. We also need to recognize at the end of the day, he's the one purifying his church. And he's giving authority. I mean, Matthew 18, he's giving the authority to us to make sure that we're keeping people, you know, in obedience. And obviously we're not the Holy Spirit. We're not God. But at the same time, you know, when we see somebody that's in the church that's proclaiming to be a Christian, who's been baptized, proclaiming to be that he's in Christ, he or she's in Christ, then in willful sin, I mean, we need to be willing to go through the process of discipline, which ultimately isn't to kick them out of the church. Although, if that's what it comes to, we saw that, you know, in graphic detail, we saw that with Ananias and Sapphira, that ultimately they were, the Holy Spirit struck them because of their disobedience. But we saw that in 1 Corinthians 5, where the man was sinning with his father's wife, and you know, Paul says, I've already judged him. I mean, he needs to be put out of the church, and that's the, but ultimately those are the things that we need to be doing, and that's what the true church does. And when we're walking in obedience, when we're walking and obeying Christ's commands, that's where we're going to be the most effective. That's where we're going to, you know, ultimately have the power of Christ.
As we wrap this up, as we conclude, your heart was led to preach these three. And I was just going to ask you, what as we bring it down to the Grace Bible Church Gainesville, that level, what do you see on the horizon coming for a small church like Grace Bible Church Gainesville?
Well, I think we're going to continue to be challenged. That, you know, we had the retreat last week. Yeah. We did the retreat, and that was all about the armor of God. Mm-hmm. And I think, as we know, in 2020, during the last election, you know, you had COVID, you know, going on, and so ultimately, with COVID, what happened? Locked the churches down, and you know, the government said you can do this, you can't do that, and you know, they were trying to dictate worship. And so I don't know, you know, 2024, you know, we have an election year. I don't know what the next thing is going to be. I don't know what they're going to try to do, but ultimately we have to recognize that we have an enemy, and that enemy is going to attack, and he's not going to sit still. And ultimately, as a church, we have to recognize where the true power comes from. That it's not about programs. It's not about trying to attract the world. It's not about, you know, all these things that these churches are trying to do. It's about obeying Christ and what Christ said. And part of that is understanding who he is, you know, that he is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is He has been given all authority on heaven and in heaven and on earth, and to recognize that, you know, he's the one who's building his church. He's the one who's protecting his church. We don't need to be doing anything. We don't need to be doing gimmicks. We don't need to be doing, you know, the things that we think are going to build the church. We need to be focused on making disciples of the nations. We need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we need to teach them all that he commanded. And as part of that, we need to be doing church discipline. You know, that we need to be committed to church discipline. We need to be committed to the, said another way, we need to be committed to the purity of the body. And ultimately, that starts with our own purity. That starts with our own worship and making sure that we're worshiping him and understanding who he is. And ultimately, knowing that no matter what happens in the culture, no matter what happens in the world, that ultimately those are the answers that, you know, Christ has given us. And that's the things those are the things he's mandated for us to do.
And that was the basis of that series, is the church is based on the identity of Jesus, the reality of Jesus's work, and the recognition of his power. And you wanted to make sure that everyone at Grace Bible Church Gainesville knows that that's what we're based on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we can get so distracted. And part of this was because I had a part of this started in reality because I had someone come to me and ask, you know, why are we even, you know, what is the point of Grace Bible Church? And why can't I just go wherever I want to go? And if I want to go over here for a while, I can go over here, and I can go, if I want to come here for a while, I can come here. And I, you know, it was a legitimate question. It wasn't like, you know, it was a legitimate question of why the local church? Why is it so important? And what I was hoping to do is get people to see this is how Christ is working through the church, and he's working through the local church. And therefore, we need to see that, and we need to be committed to the local church. I need to be committed to a church that understands the true identity of Christ. I need to be committed to a church that understands that he is building his church. And I need to be committed to a church that's going to hold me accountable, and I can't, if I go bouncing around, you know, to this church or that church and not really being a part of a local church, you know, no matter what church that is, in terms of as long as it's faithful, if I'm going to go bouncing around, who's going to hold me accountable? You know, does that make sense? I mean,
yes.
So many people, they want to just kind of live on the edges. They'll listen to John MacArthur for a little bit. They'll listen to R.C. Sproul, John Piper. They'll listen to, you know, Sinclair Ferguson, they'll listen to Robert Thomas, they'll listen to all these people, but they're not accountable in the church. And so, you know, if we need to understand that, you know, what the church is, we need to understand why he commissioned the church, why he's working through the church, and we need to understand and be held accountable by the church.
Yes, and I'm hoping that this little podcast, this episode has helped people understand that better. If they didn't have clarification, that they will now. That's what we're hoping.
Yes.
So, yeah, and there's more to come. Yeah, more to come on this as we move forward. You know, the local church, we'll see what happens. Like you said, we don't know what's on the horizon, but we know that God knows, and we trust that as we move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Any last word on this you want to share?
Last words.
You can say no
last
if you
words.
Want.
I don't know if I have any last words, Keith. I'm all out of words.
Okay. Yeah, I think you need to get going down to Shepherd's Conference and get those hard-boiled eggs. I think they're ready.
Well, you know, my buddy Dennis and Mitch here, buddies Dennis and Mitch here that are sitting here, they're telling me that hard-boiled eggs with sriracha is the bomb.
Oh, really?
Like right now they're sitting on the edge of their seat, not because they're listening to me and what I have to say. They're sitting on the edge of their seat because they know that those hard-boiled eggs and sriracha sauce are within a few minutes of in their future. So
yeah.
So that's what they're focused on right now. And so I guess I need to get off so that they can.
And that's some good protein.
They can go get those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna try it. I think I'm gonna take their word for it.
Well, I just want to say thank you for taking. I know this is a busy time, and I know you're relaxing down there and stuff. But it was fun to be able to do this while you were there. And I just want to say, when God put the pepper mill on you, he did not stop grinding, and we are thankful for that. You've been listening to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.